You're getting the most out of being at a game with American Express. The card member entrance, the lounge, and now tip off. See how to elevate your live sports experience at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Don't live life without it. Eligible American Express card required. Benefits vary by card and by venue. Terms apply.
Welcome to Through the Wire.
Through the Wire.
Officially in like the off season. Like, we know it's the off season because I turned on ESPN the other day and somebody said that Chris Bosh wasn't part of a big three, that it was really a big two. So I know that we're in the off season because people are starting to talk about stupid stuff, but we won't get there.
This is where we separate ourselves because we can consistently.
There's no LeBron versus Michael Jordan debates on this show.
Don't do anything.
But
dumb.
If you had to pick between LeBron and Michael Jordan,
LeBron James.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm still hearing Kawhi and Jordan in the same conversation.
Well, I don't know why you're hearing.
That's a yikes. On that same channel. But we're going to open it up with the first question coming from the freaky homie.
The freaky homie.
That's what he say. Hey. And he says, what are your summer plans in terms of releasing week in and week out? Same schedule. You think because it's the off season, we're going to take some time off? That's not how we do things around here, baby. Now you're about to get more discussion related episodes rather than like talking about news. We're about to really get down to the nitty gritty. We're going to get to some predictions because the season's starting.
Rankings.
3 weeks ranking. So we still got production. You know,
this
we still
would be
got
the
stuff.
Best time for them to actually send us stuff that they would want to hear us talk about. Because a lot of times y'all do that during the season, but there's so much stuff going on a season that it kind of determines what we talk about. We don't really pick. It's like if somebody gets injured for the season, that's going to be the topic. If a team goes on a 15-game winning streak, if a trade happens, those are automatically the topics. And a lot of times during the season, y'all be like, talk about this or rank this or who's better. These are the times to do it because we have that open opportunity to talk about numerous topics.
All of that get lost in the shuffle when we got so many things already on the list. But listen, I can open up with a small little rant. Y'all probably know where this is going if you follow me on Twitter, but I had to talk about the Chris Paul
scandal. That was a gas too.
Listen.
Go crazy. I want to hear it because I don't know. I would never slander him, though, but go ahead.
I'm going to preface this by, of course, saying that Chris Paul is my favorite point guard of all time, other than Derrick Rose because I'm a homer, right?
Right.
Chris Paul is my favorite point guard of all time.
Can I ask you why? I'm just
asking. Yeah, he's a smaller guy. Y'all know I gravitate to smaller guys. He's a gritty defender. Play makes out of his mind. And he's just so impactful.
You love the small guys.
I love the
Isaiah
small
Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas is one of my guys. Yes. Right.
What version of Chris Paul did you fall in love with?
I fell in love with him. probably his first year with the Clippers. Obviously,
really?
I liked them when he was with the Hornets and everything. But like when I first became like a real fan of Chris Paul is when he finally got to LA because those Lob City days were something special.
I think my favorite Chris Paul moments was when he was a Hornet, seeing him carry those teams like that.
He had.
Well, not anywhere. David West.
Name. What?
You was about to say name one player on that team.
No, I swear I was. Oh.
I thought he was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. What college did he go to? I was going to say, no. I should. What college did he go to?
I don't know.
People always Wake be Forest. Like, you always, they you always think I bring my it credit. Up to bash. I bring it up to make sure my guys know. You know what I'm saying? How could Chris Paul be his guy if he don't know what school he went to? But he knows who he went to.
Of course.
But I was going to ask if you knew the lineup that he played with. Because I really wanted to see if he knew, because at that time, that's when Chris Paul almost...
What do you have? Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, Trevor Reza, David West. Eric Gordon was there.
You can buy
because they got traded for each other. I'm trying to think who was that, too.
Because Chris Paul had that crazy season.
Then we have, some David Wesley at two. We had a couple years where,
Morris Peterson, Tyson Chandler.
Tyson Chandler was there, of course.
That team was decent.
Pager.
Team was decent. That's what I heard.
Back to my rant, though.
Yeah.
I, even as a fan, because y'all know I am the most unbiased person in the world. If one of my favorite players is on some nut shit, I will tell him he's on some nut shit. And Chris Paul is one of those guys that's sometimes on that nut shit. But.
That's why Ron don't have to.
The slander's got to stop. I saw a tweet with a couple hundred retweets saying that Chris Paul wasn't even top 10 in his position all time.
Okay, now that's just overdoing it. Now that's overdoing it. The things that put Chris Paul over the top when you mentioned like the greatest pitchers of all time, I think is the one thing that hinders him is a ring. Everything else he basically has.
Everything else he's got.
Statistically, he's one of the best.
And how could you make
And he has great playoff performances. It's not like he's a playoff choker.
Give me some. His playoff averages are ridiculous.
How could we make a list without him? Let's just try.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can give you. Okay, let me go to my tweets because I had to reply to this one.
Okay.
Because, yes.
I want to say, I don't want nobody to be in there talking about.
Magic Johnson, Stephen Curry would be above him.
Oscar Robertson.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas. Bad Boy Pistons, Isaiah Thomas. Steve Nash.
That was my question.
You can make an argument for question. Jason Kidd.
I'm putting Jason Kidd over him.
Somebody said Bob Cousy. Yeah, right. Oh, my God. See, I can't do it. I can't do it. So, okay, back to my rant. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge that Chris Paul did not have a good season last year.
Is John Stockton better than Chris Paul?
Yes, I would say so. I would say so.
John Stockton. Gary Payton.
Now we get into war.
Yeah, it's like the same.
Gary Payton is close.
They're in the same boat.
You think so? I think CP3 edged him a little bit.
I understand that last year was not his. This is literally his worst season since his rookie season. That's how good he's been.
As it should have been.
And he was still good, right? But he had his injuries, you know, the stuff on and off the court, all that things. When I talk about Chris Paul, right, I always think about, what's his nickname? CP3 and what else? The point god.
Mm-hmm.
He has been top five and real plus minus his entire career. Other than last year, his entire career. He has some of the highest plus minus seasons in history behind Draymond Green and Stephen Curry on the 73-win team.
Right.
That's how impactful this player is. And the fact that somebody can come out here with a straight face and say that he's not top 10 of all time in his position is ridiculous. I can name playoff performances when you like, man, Chris Paul really did that. Then
go ahead and bring up the Spurs series.
We're gonna bring up the Spurs series. He had, was it his quad? Right? Yeah. He hit the game winner over Tim Duncan and one other player with his quad being basically done because he didn't even play the next series because his quad was so messed up. He went on pure adrenaline and carried that team into game 7. That's the moment.
It is.
He also is one of the players that has like insanely bad luck. Because if it wasn't him getting injured, it was Blake Griffin getting injured. Because we had that one season against the Utah Jazz, Blake Griffin, like he broke his big toe or something that. And then Chris Paul came out and dropped 40 to beat the Utah Jazz.
Right. They didn't close out the series, right?
They lost in seven. No, that series they won in 5, and then they lost in the next series against...
Don't worry, continue your rant.
Okay, regardless, Chris Paul has big time plays. Mm-hmm. He has big time moments. The biggest knock for me on Chris Paul is sometimes he's terrible to watch because of the flopping.
No, they lost to the Jazz in 7.
Okay, because of the flopping, because of the arguing calls, and he's kind of a diva, right? Yeah. Those are the biggest knocks on Chris Paul. Like somebody asked me, Kenny, would you take him on the Bulls? No. Because of how much of an asshole he is and how much of a bad contract it is. See, people start to equate contract
with value.
Yeah. When that's not the way it works all the time. For example, Chris Middleton's got one of the biggest contracts in NBA history, but none of us is up here saying Chris Middleton is one of the top 10 players of all in the league right now. No, it's because he had the leverage, and if he walked, the Milwaukee Bucks got nothing. Same thing with Chris Paul. Same thing with Tobias Harris.
I don't understand why people don't understand that.
It's insane how it goes, and I guess that's the end of my rant. Chris Paul's top 10 in his position.
It's like you tweeted, he's overpaid, he's not overrated.
Exactly. That's what it boils
down to. That's the perfect saying for him.
I don't even think we put him in like the top
times in his career when he was underpaid.
They knew they was taking on that contract but it was just worth it for those first couple of years.
Because they promised him that max deal, so they had to give it to him. They couldn't
and
go back
on it. He's the head of the Players Association, so he orchestrated it, so he did get the most money, which I can respect. You know, you get your bag.
You got to be all about your paper.
Exactly.
We were talking about the 10 point guards that, you know, we can make a list without him. And we had Magic Johnson, Steph Curry, Steve Nash, Jason Kidd.
And this is not any order. These are just players above Chris Paul.
We said Oscar Robertson, Isaiah Thomas, if you didn't mention it.
I had
John Stockton. We had mentioned. You said Jason Kidd, right?
Yeah.
You said Gary Payton was another one that's arguable.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go straight to ESPN's.
Is Nate Archibald?
Hell no.
No, I wouldn't say.
Here's ESPN's top point guards of all time: Magic Johnson at the 1.
Okay.
This is from 2016, by the way. Too Big O at the 2. Stockton at the 3. At the 4, Stephen Curry. I would argue that Stephen Curry's probably getting up there. Again, this is from 2016. Isaiah Thomas, number 5, and number 6 is Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I can agree with the 5 players above him.
Yep.
And then after him, you got Steve Nash. You got Jason Kidd. You got Walt Frazier. And then you got Bob Cousy. They don't even got Gary Payton in the top 10.
Right. That's why I had asked that, because as I'm looking at them,
Bob Cousy not top 10. I'm sorry. I cannot look at this man highlight reel and be like, oh, yeah, that's a top 10 player of all time.
CP3 shit is decent if you just look at him. If we're looking at Gary Payton is a 9-time All-Star. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul's a 9-time All-Star.
Yep. He will be 10, but he got injured. You know, I'm just saying that out there. He got injured that season. He was guaranteed lock it, and he got injured. So he will be 10. But
Gary Payton, 9-time All-Defense. CP3 is.
9-time All-Defense. Gary Payton got that award, though. That's the difference.
Gary Payton has the award. 6-time steel champ for CP3.
Of course.
1-time steel champ for Gary Payton.
That's a surprise. That's a very big surprise. For somebody known as the glove, you think he would have been a steel leader more than that.
It's that 1-on-1 defense. Chris Paul being those lanes.
Gary Payton has a ring. He was all rookie. Chris Paul was actual rookie of the year.
But it's not too late for Chris Paul to get a ring. It just won't happen on his current team.
No.
Because Jason Kidd got his ring at 37.
Yeah.
So it can still happen.
Is there really a market for Chris Paul right now, though?
He said 37. So Chris Paul is only 34.
So he got a couple years before he gets to that.
And then at 37, it'll be on the last of his contract. So maybe some team will be willing to do that. But who knows? He's the type of player that made age okay because he doesn't rely on athleticism. Mm-hmm. So even if his knees
and
are
that
bad,
IQ never leave.
He's IQ
never leave.
Yeah. But then again, if his knees go bad, he probably playing 40 games. So I don't know. I think Chris Paul at this point is beginning to the point where he's underrated more than overrated because everybody just talk about how trash he is. You know, he's a good player. Bleach Report every year, they rank the top players at each position, right?
Yeah.
He's been top three his entire career.
I can't wait to see what he is on ours. He won't be top three.
Won't be top three. If I'm taking a guess right now without doing no research, he'd probably be number 7 on my
list
right now.
Yeah, let's do 7. Let's do quick.
Stephen
Curry.
No, Steph Curry.
Yeah, Damian Lillard. Kyrie Irving. Russell Westbrook.
Kemba.
Ben Simmons. I'll put Ben Simmons. Yeah, Ben Simmons.
And then ones that have Chris Paul at 7. At this right now with no research.
Mike Conley on that Jazz team.
Maybe. We got to see it first.
I almost said John Wall because I'm so used to seeing him and PG
the
base.
He wouldn't be there, but he's...
He got to come back
but
first.
But you know what? Chris Paul is going to have that Thunder team all in control. So he might be able to sauce some shit up as far as numbers go.
I think he's going to be traded by December when everybody can't get traded.
You know, he going to have opportunity to really sauce some shit up, like I was saying. He's going to be able to infiltrate those stats and...
I think he has to come out and create a market for himself. That was the first thing
when he first went to Thunder. I was like, he's going to be a real good mentor for Shea in the time he is there.
Because they're similar players in the sense that they're high IQ point guards who rarely turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got one of the greatest of all time just giving you pointers here and there, come on, Shea. If I'm OKC, that's why I'm keeping him for at least a month or two.
Yeah.
You know, because even Eric Bledsoe gives Chris Paul some credit to like his – blossom as an NBA player because he had Chris Paul his first couple years in his career. So I'm just saying Chris Paul is the guy, and I hope he can stay healthy, which is probably unlikely, to be honest with you. But who knows? His career is not over. It's only 34. But okay, that's enough of Chris Paul talk. Shout out to CP3.
Do we have another fan question?
Oh, sure. Yep, I can jump into another fan question.
I like the first one.
Jarvis, what team has the brightest future in your eyes?
It's a lot of bright teams in the future. The one team I've been keeping my eye on.
Is he talking young core?
Young core.
I say Atlanta.
Atlanta's probably number one for me too. I think Atlanta's number one. They got Trae Young, who after his rookie season, I'm thinking he's going to be a multiple-time All-Star.
Yeah, yes.
John Collins had a great sophomore season. Kevin Herter, very underrated player in that draft class. And then they also have Cam Reddish, who I don't know much about, but everybody thinks that he has Paul George potential. If he can put it all together. And then DeAndre Hunter, though, he only played like 1 or 2 summer league games. He's a DN3 guy.
Added pieces, which they could use. And it was great that they added those prospects and now they can, keep building what they already had.
Another underrated.
Chicago would be up there for me, too. Mm-hmm. Pels.
Sacramento. With their backcourt.
Yes. Oh, if I'm doing a ranking.
The Pels is very. Because we lost. I'm lost for words on the Pels now.
I thought about this.
So who was number one? Because you just threw the Hawks out there without acknowledging.
Because that's the first team I think about. I'm excited to watch the Hawks this season.
I don't know.
It's
Chicago came to my mind first. Just because Zach LaVine.
Yeah, they're a couple years
Lowry.
In, too.
Yeah, I think their guys are more ready. Well, except for Kobe White.
I have another young core nobody still said. I'm more to
Dallas.
Dallas. I was thinking Dallas, too.
I was thinking Dallas, too.
Or Denver.
Denver, because Jokic.
I was thinking the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
It's on paper.
Oh, yeah.
You got Brandon Clark, who just won the MVP, mm-hmm. Jaren Jackson, Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Grayson Allen, you know, so they got some shit going on over there.
Reading said his sons.
They got Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. At this point, that's all a young core. Kelly Oubre, yeah, he's only 24. They got to put it together with a consistent coach, which hopefully they got it now. They got to put it together with a competent front office.
Yeah, I mean, if anything happens with Monty as far as the coaching, we're going to riot. Because, I mean, it won't be his fault. The Grizzlies also have Josh Jackson. I guess they hoping that he could turn something around. Mm-hmm. They got Tyus Jones. So they got some young pieces here, De'Anthony Melton.
I would actually put the Nuggets at number one.
That makes sense because they were there.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. Since somebody brought up the Suns, can we talk about the Suns? I would be afraid if I was a Suns fan.
They just brought in Ricky Rubio.
They did bring in Ricky Rubio. But if for some reason they don't win like 30 games at least. They won 19 last year.
Yeah, I know.
If they don't win at least 30 games, D-Book needs to call out, bro.
It's going
to
play into the game we got in for later. But this is just one of the teams that's been terrible for a while now. There's no sign of improvement. Even though they're getting, you know, they have the picks every year. They've been making some trades. It's just they never improve.
They don't hit on their draft picks. They always choose the wrong guy.
They hit 2-1. 8 years, I always say it, DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker. And then T.J. Warren, who they traded for nothing. But, like, people be like, man, don't worry, Devin Booker's under contract for 3 more years. That shit does not matter no more. Paul George just signed an extension last year and then requested a trade. That do not matter. If Devin Booker wants to win and y'all not putting the pieces around here, he'd be crazy not to ask
out. And players are now getting the power to where they can determine their legacy. Now.
Yeah. If that boy Devin Booker said, I want to play for this team, he could probably end up on that team easily.
So, since we're on the topic of Devin Booker. Mm-hmm. Oh. In what world is Donovan Mitchell better than Devin Booker?
I don't think it's crazy to think about.
I think they're about the same. Yeah,
yeah, they're very close.
They are. Mm-hmm. But who are you taking? Who is better to you?
Devin Booker.
Devin Booker is probably
by hair.
Especially on the offense. And Devin Booker is a way better shooter.
He's a better scorer in general.
Yeah.
Huh. That's funny that you said that. I seen you like the tweet that was saying that there was like
he's a better scorer, but
no
I think
way in hell that Devin Booker could be better than Donovan Mitchell.
I didn't like that tweet. I liked it just to like it, but
there was
no meaning behind it.
So now we just liking dumbass tweets.
Uh oh.
You never just liked the dumbass tweet?
No, I never liked the tweet.
I like it just sort of for the simple fact that it was funny and it was dumb as hell.
You're saving yourself.
Uh-oh. We know Devin Booker to be a superior three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell's numbers look better from last year as far as three-point shooting goes.
But Devin Booker shoots way more.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
More. He doesn't shoot more?
Donovan Mitchell shot more and shot 20% better. Not
20%.
20%? I'm like, 50% from deep. 4% better. Sorry. 36% for Donovan Mitchell and 32%.
So who do you think is a better shooter?
Devin Booker.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't think it's
crazy. It's a lot of context to those numbers. Devin Booker probably, both of them take wild threes.
That's why he brought that up, and I was able to still ask him, because a lot of people would just look at that and say, but I mean, I get it, Donovan Mitchell, you thought the But
I do like Donovan Mitchell more, though, because I've seen him in those big moments. I haven't seen that on Devin Booker yet.
That's the one takeaway when you got to talk about the negatives to Devin Booker. He hasn't been in that situation. And players can change in those situations when it's on high stakes up there.
But to be honest, we've seen Donovan Mitchell get eliminated, like, offensively from series, like against the Rockets last season. He very well struggled.
Very good point.
And the year before that against the Rockets.
I think you used both. To the same advantage, because I put the argument out there on Twitter, and a lot of people were overcomplicating the conversation by bringing in all those variables. I don't want to get it misconstrued. Context is needed in every argument, but you overcomplicate it when you start bringing in those other type of things that to me don't mean much, because it's an argument for both ways. You tell me that Donovan Mitchell has been to the playoffs, but then I say he's been drafted to a team that won 50 games before they had him. Granted, they lost Gordon Hayward, but they still had a... I hate how people...
No, they definitely had a good team.
Yeah, I hate how people shit on the rest of that Jazz team as if Donovan Mitchell can't...
All right, Ricky Rubio had a very good year for that Utah Jazz team. Rudy Gobert was monster defensively, which he still is.
Specifically that playoff series, because people was like, Donovan Mitchell carried them through that first round against two All-NBA players. And I'm like, bro, are you telling me Rudy Gobert? He's a two-time defensive...
He carried them offensively. Yeah. It's a difference between carrying a team and carrying offensively.
Rudy had moments in that playoff series.
Yeah, he had that game where he...
He had a 26-10 game. And he had a game where he was frustrating Russell Westbrook. Joe Ingles, wasn't y'all on Twitter talking about how he was locking up Paul George?
Hell yeah.
Now all of a sudden, it don't matter no more. All those variables don't play into a factor because we just want to get a credit to Donovan Mitchell. He deserves credit, but I just don't think that he went there and changed the franchise. It ain't like he went to a Phoenix and all of a sudden made them a playoff team.
But there was pressure on him to come in and fill
it. There wasn't pressure on him.
I'm talking about just like filling that void of Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, he had to fill that void, but he had so much around him that that's all he had to do.
Yeah.
Like, you just go to a team and all they want you to do is, all we need you to do is score the fucking ball.
You simplified it a lot, though. You know what I'm saying?
That's all they had asked him to really do.
I understand it, but like, it takes a very, very special player to be able to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, how, like.
I'm not discrediting him at all, but. It's different when you go into a situation where you have to do that, or when you have to really carry the franchise.
The expectations for Devin Booker was he wasn't going to turn that whole franchise. He was going to be their starting star piece, and they was going to start building around him.
And he kind of fell in their lap.
They never expected him to be what he was going to be.
Yeah.
He just kind of blossomed to the end.
Maybe they did because they traded for him.
Because it was no pressure.
Right.
It wasn't pressure in there to come in. And a lot of people say that the Jazz were projected to be a lottery team. Through the Wire, didn't have them as no lottery
team. No, I definitely had them in the playoffs.
We didn't have them as no lottery team. Because they still had Rodney Hood, who I expected to make a leap. Donovan Mitchell was the one who made the leap. But they still had a very good team and a very good system under Quinn Snyder. But I just think the argument of bringing up team success and winning, you have to go out the window because Devin Booker has had five coaches in 4 or 5 years.
And he still averaged 25 or like 5 and 5.
With shit around him. He has seven assists.
Seven? Yeah that's even better.
Yep.
So
if you're a 25-point scorer with 7 assists, you're very good.
With Tyler Johnson as your point guard.
It's going to be a debate that's always going to be there because they're so close to each other and they're so close to each other in age. So it's always going to be a debate. I just want to see Devin Booker win some games so we can see how he's like in those moments that matter.
Because
how many impactful, like real games that matter has Devin Booker been in? Like zero.
Right.
Yeah,
really?
But I can't discredit him.
No, I'm not discrediting him. I want to see it.
The thing is the empty stat shit. I don't believe in it. To me, that there's no such thing as empty stat. Because if a player is playing, like Devin Booker, because he plays for the Suns, doesn't mean he's supposed to average 13 points. Is he just not supposed to hoop?
I don't think it's empty stats for like some of Devin Booker's caliber. He's still a young player on a team that hasn't really even developed.
Hassan Whiteside puts up empty stats.
Yeah, if you're already an established player on a team that's not doing well and your stats are just boosted, I think those are kind of like more meaningless. Of course, I know you could put up stats, but it's not really translation or it's not meaning anything because you're on a team that might be tanking or something.
I think Devin Booker's stats mean more because he's on a team where the defense is solely on him. He's literally the only person that team is.
Give you 25 and 7.
Yep.
You know, put up empty stats. Jerry Stackhouse 1 year averaged 30.
That's such a random ass fact.
He averaged 30 1 year, and their team was ass. He didn't even make the All Star game, averaging 30. like that. That's the definition of an empty stat player.
In that standpoint, I don't think it's an empty stat because there's something you taking away from that. There's something only he can be successful in that type of role. Maybe you think maybe somebody fell and thought he could be a league guy. It's something you can take away something from every single thing that these players is doing. What you're supposed to do every time you're on a basketball court is hoop. I can't fault Jerry Stackhouse for scoring 30. Was he not supposed to score 30 when he had the opportunity to? That's all I'm saying. I just don't believe in it and such thing as empty stats because you're supposed to go out there and hoop. So if you're putting up numbers in any situation, that's for the organizations and whoever to decide that. If you look at the tanking Sixers, the trust the process, and you have who was on that team, like Elliot Williams, all of a sudden he giving you 19 points a game, and our franchise signed him for some good money, and he didn't do shit, that's their fault for not being able to evaluate that. But if they signed him and he kept the shit up, and he was a diamond in the rough, then that, you see why he's a diamond in the rough. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love had never made the playoffs before they teamed up with LeBron James. Never made the playoffs. Soon as they got with LeBron James, we all automatically caught on the favors because we knew what they could do. And they went to the finals for however many years in a row after that. Being able to hoop is being able to hoop. But all in all, I got Devin Booker.
Yeah, I got
Devin Booker. I'm going to go Devin Booker too.
Yeah, but it's by here though.
Yeah. Because I think defensively, Donovan Mitchell has him
definitely.
Devin Booker. But
Devin, Devin Booker has no reason to really play defense.
Yeah, I was going to say, really I think win. It's all in the effort end.
If Donovan Mitchell wasn't a better defender, that would be a problem because he has Rudy behind him. So right. You better go up and guard.
Because Joe Ingles is a great defender just because he got Gobert behind him.
Yeah, Quinn Snyder, we also got to give him credit. They just have a good, very good defensive team. They're going to be even better defensively with Bogdan. Mike Conley. And they do have Bogdan, yeah.
And Ed Davis coming off that bench. Come on, man.
The Jazz, this is about to be a very fun year.
Yeah.
It's about to be a very, very
fun year. We got another question?
I may have to get one of those gradient jerseys. Before we get to the next question, we'll be right back. And we back, and the next question comes from Dan, who says, who is the player?
Danny boy!
Y'all know Dan?
Nah.
No.
What up, Dan?
No, I do know Dan. Yeah, y'all Dan Shear, yeah.
Okay.
He always donate.
Exactly.
Shout out to my boy.
So y'all know he be donating to you. Yeah. One of my top donators. Give us everything. Dan be everywhere, bro. Shout out to my boy Dan. Who's the player each of y'all looking forward to watching the most, whether it be looking out for a breakout season or they have something to prove or anything like that?
I got Porzingis. I think he's going to be another defensive player of the year candidate again, and I think he's going to really help elevate that Dallas team to probably that eighth seed.
Damn. You also called them the AC last year, too.
Yeah, you did.
But they were there for
a better chance.
Yeah,
they got. He come back hooping. You have.
Because he was.
What are the chances that he doesn't come back hooping? Because he has had injury history throughout his entire career.
I think it's very slim.
It's tough for the man. Yeah.
Breath of fresh air for a New York Knicks fan, of course.
Actually, my boy. Godfather Big Stacks Porzingis. I don't ever want him to fail.
I think he's going to be good.
Okay. I got Trae Young. Mm-hmm. I think he's due for a breakout season. I don't know. I just think it's going to be his most comfortable year.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So far, this second year, I think it's going to do him real well. Kyrie Irving, I think he has something to prove in terms of how he brings himself to a new team. We've seen what happened last year with the Celtics. They underperform, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's just, especially in the playoffs. I think Kyrie Irving, he left a bad taste in people's mouth of how he performed in that Bucks series.
I got one more. Kemba, we get to see him now with talent around him and he not having to be the only option.
That's a fact, bro. That is a fact. My guy's John Isaac because I think he's going to win most improved player. Because he is a very talented wing defender who can guard four positions. I won't put him on the point guard, actually.
Okay.
But he can guard everything else. And he was already on the team that made the playoffs without him being an extreme contributor on the offensive end. What if we see a jump where he's averaging 15 points per game? That's a W for the Orlando
Magic. What did
Magic
he average last year? I mean,
I think he averaged 11.
Okay, that's not like a too big of a jump.
I thought he averaged 9.
So, I mean,
yeah. Might be 9.
I didn't know if he averaged double digits last year.
9.6, yeah, you're
okay,
right.
Yeah.
But even
5 points is a doable.
Yeah, and it's not doable. Even just talking about it on the points aspect. Just him being more of an impactful player. Mm-hmm. Like Pascal Siakam had a big jump point per game, but his overall impact was so great.
Because the thing that makes Jonathan Isaac so interesting is, like you said, his size. He has the ability to guard almost every position on the floor. If he can produce something.
You know, he started 64 games, well, that should change next year.
If he could bring something on the offensive end along with the D, he could be a very nice two-way.
Yeah.
Very nice.
He's going to be a very nice two-way. That's for sure. I got a few players I'm watching closely. Michael Porter Jr., I'm extremely excited to see.
I just want to watch him.
Yeah, I think the whole league is excited to see him.
Mm-hmm. But as far as jump and just things like that, Kuzma with the Lakers, he has to kind of be that third guy for them. Unless LeBron is the MVP and AD plays out of his mind, that would be the only significant chance he doesn't. But when you look at load management and the fact that they want to go win a championship, I think LeBron will kind of take it easy, and probably AD as well. So I think they'll rely on Kuzma. Jason Tatum, he had the magnificent rookie year. The playoffs, he did his thing. And then, you know, this past year, it was a lot for the entire team. But I think now that things have settled down a little bit more, they have Kemba. He's going to be their guy for the next couple of years. Jason Tatum has to take that step forward and give us what we thought we were going to get last year.
Because Jason Tatum, this last year was just kind of blah. Like, he was good. He was good. But he wasn't great.
Yeah.
Looked like he was going
to
be great.
Did y'all like what Kemba did when he went and asked him, like, what does it take to be successful in the playoffs?
Wait, say it again?
He asked all the young players, what does it take to be successful?
I mean, he ain't wrong. He ain't never been to
finals. He ain't one game away, so I can't laugh at it. But it's just funny because Kemba been in the league for like a decade, and he's asking the 2 year.
But a lot of us thought that Jason Tatum would be borderline all-star, maybe even all-star after what we saw from that. So I want to see that this year.
More opportunity now.
Yeah, we'll be there. Andrew Wiggins. I think Towns is going to hoop his ass off. So I think Andrew Wiggins got to show something, man. I think we got to close the chapter on that.
I think we've seen what we're going to see from Wiggins.
Maybe we have. Maybe we have. But I'm going to continue to watch because he's still very young. Mm-hmm. The opportunity is definitely still going to be there. There's no Jimmy Butler to start the season off. It's a clean slate.
That's the only way the Timberwolves get better, to be honest. If he starts to improve his own
game. Oh, I'm glad you brought him up because I was watching an interview with Ryan Saunders. Shout out to Coach. Not my coach, but Coach. He said that Wiggins started his workout earlier than he ever has before.
And that's why I brought him up too, because I've seen him with some people, and he was dogging them.
And they said they're running him at point guard more this season because once Jeff Teague and Derrick Rose were injured at the end of last season, he averaged like 6 assists a game.
He killed.
So they're gonna run him at point guard more. Maybe that's the recipe. Put the ball in his hands more. Let him make the decisions.
I forget his name, but he's a Timberwolves fan.
Swervo?
We had that. Is that his name?
He always replied anything Wiggins related.
So. Yes. We had that conversation last year when they put Wiggins to point guard. We were like, this is it. But obviously Derrick Rose and them came back and Tyus Jones, whatever.
So. I'm excited to see Derrick Rose too in a new situation.
That would be fun.
I hope he's starting. I think he is. I don't think he will.
I think Reggie Jackson's going to start. That would be my guess.
He's six man though.
Yeah, six. Ain't no wrong with being six man.
DeJounte Murray. He's going to come back to the Spurs situation. Yeah. And then also another Spurs, Trey Lyles. This is his third team, and he's only been on his rookie contract. So I want to see him do something because Trey Lyles was a lottery pick, if I'm not mistaken. He can hoop. He went to the Jazz. That was a nice
traded
system.
For Donovan Mitchell.
Then he was he?
Yep.
Yes, he was. Then he went to the Nuggets.
Didn't really have much shit there.
And now he's with the Spurs, another good organization. He's been on a lot of different good organizations. He came from a good Kentucky program, so it's time for him to, you know, do his thing. I think it'll be some more opportunity in San Antonio because they didn't get Marcus Morris and they traded Bertans.
Which I was surprised to see.
They did it to get Marcus Morris. Got his bag with them.
He pulled the Houdini.
You know who I want to see play again? Where the hell is Andre Roberson, bro? He's been out for a season and a half.
He's still hurt. Didn't he hurt his ass last time?
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure that's what he did.
He got Rachel Demetis. He need to get back on that court, bro.
He do.
He was so fun to watch for the simple fact that they left him open.
He got to play like you.
Yeah, I know. We play very similar. They left him open and let him shoot. And if he made it, you like, thank God. But when he hit backboard from the corner, you're like, God.
Hell yeah.
And then, of course, my guys, Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson. You know, I always gonna be looking.
Who y'all think y'all starting lineup gonna be?
It's tough because we have an abundance of guards
and power forwards.
I think not to me. I don't think Bobby Porter is going to play power.
He's more of a center.
Yeah.
I don't think Bobby Porter is going to play power forward.
Julius Randle is already a guaranteed starter. Yeah. So it's
Dennis Smith Jr.
Yep.
RJ, Kev.
Julius Randle,
Mitchell Robinson.
Mitchell Robinson, okay.
Trier off the bench.
We have Trier, Marcus Morris. Portis.
You see, we're going to gas him up.
We're gassing him up.
Going to look forward to it.
We got Frank Ntilikina.
You got Taj Gibson.
We got Alfred Payne off the...
We got Ignaz Brazdakis.
Y'all gonna get Chicago Bulls, Taj.
We got Wayne Ellington.
He was a baller though.
That's another thing I'm saying. Taj Gibson, he's a power forward, but if he come off the bench, he probably play small ball center.
Yeah.
And he can stretch the floor now, apparently.
Yeah, with them little corner three. Just don't wear number 67. Oh my God.
That's what he do.
That's an ugly ass, yeah.
That's what he do.
We got
though.
Damian Dotson. We finna be if we sneak. Never mind.
Yeah.
I got the question for you.
Oh, okay. I thought you were sneaking into.
I thought you were about to say the AFC.
Yeah.
And if we did, guess who will be in New York?
You.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you ain't gonna worry about that. I mean, everything's a possibility.
We got Reggie Bullock,
who just had surgery, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's y'all cool and all.
Shit, we might be better than the Bulls. Y'all want to put some money?
I would put a lot of money on that. Yes.
Let's make a $250.
Now you capping.
$250.
Yeah, who better?
The Bulls will be better.
What if injuries come in?
The Bulls will be better.
Okay. A bet right there. And it's on video.
$250.
Yeah,
$250.
That's a little shit, I guess.
What am I going to do with my $250, bro?
I'm about to call up.
Get you a new
Y'all
Bulls jersey.
Y'all been a little fragile the past couple years.
We have been.
So that's why I said
and we
injury.
Still going to have more wins.
That's because we ain't had no time.
You know who's an Iron Man? Tomas Satoransky. Let's dedicate the last 10 minutes of the show to Tomas Satoransky.
Psych.
Yeah, let me chill.
Y'all want to get into the game?
Yeah, let's get into the game.
We bringing back the cap or no cap. For those who don't know, if somebody's capping, or if I say the statement and I'm capping, that means I'm lying. It's false.
Cap so, equal lie, no cap equal no lie.
Did y'all see the James Harden clip?
Yeah. No.
The girl's like, that's cap.
That's cap.
She was really offended by that shit. All right.
He was trying to flirt.
Yeah, he was.
All right, so we'll go one by one.
Mm-hmm. If I'm going to jump
yeah,
in.
Yeah, everybody can chime in. First one, we'll start with Derek. A new East team comes into the playoffs.
You're not capping because the Bulls can jump in there.
The Bulls can jump in?
They can. Yeah.
So there's no cap?
Yeah.
There ain't no cap as well.
So what team will fall out then?
So I got the four teams that's plausible to fall out. Detroit could fall out. Toronto maybe could fall out.
I don't think Toronto's falling out.
And then Magic is another team that was on the borderline.
Y'all got to remember, the Toronto Raptors was like 17-5 when Kawhi sat. That's all I'm saying.
But they lost him.
And Danny Green.
Yeah.
Danny Green went on shit, man.
And we get to see Pascal now after having that season not have Kawhi Leonard.
Never know.
Get to see him play a bigger role now.
See if
potentially,
can,
what is he? Isn't he their number one option now?
Kyle Lowry is a year older.
Yeah, and I think Pascal is essentially like their number one option. So I don't. Yeah, they're definitely in danger of falling out of the playoffs.
No, I don't think they're in danger. I'm just talking shit. They still have Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka.
They got vets that play together well.
Fred and Kyle, OG
Stanley Johnson.
So you think the eight teams that made the East, they're staying?
I don't know.
It's the Bulls.
Oh, so yeah, y'all got the Bulls moving in. What about Miami? Does Miami with Jimmy Butler on their team now?
Yes, they're a playoff team with Jimmy Butler. Yes.
What about the Knicks after all the talent I just named?
We'll get to them later in the game. We'll get to them later. All right, it's on you, Pete. Isaiah Thomas has a bounce back year with Washington.
Yes. They have no point guard.
Yeah. No cap.
Yeah, you're not capping.
He's not going to average 28 again.
No, I don't think he's going to be back to All-Star.
Like 20.
I mean, the last few years, it has been like.
Be healthy.
Just give us something.
I think he'll be a 20-point scorer.
I think him and Bradley Beal will be nice together.
Mm-hmm. If he averages 17 and healthy, that's a bounce back
season. There's no Satoransky. Mm-hmm. There's no John.
It's funny you mentioned Bradley Beal because he's probably the next one.
Okay. I'm here for it.
The Heat pull the trigger and get John Wall and Bradley Beal.
Big cap.
Yeah. What?
How?
There was rumors that they're willing to take on that contract for Bradley Beal now.
That's still a how, though.
Yeah.
Because they got Jimmy's contract. They can't afford three.
We'll sure that Bradley Beal gets moved from that Wizards.
I think that's cap because their GM, who's now a GM.
Yeah, they just got promoted.
Shout out to him getting that job.
Right.
They explained that they're not even thinking about, they're declining all offers.
There's no reason, too. He's 25?
25, yeah. They're declining all offers. You can ring the phone about John Wall if you want to, but for Bradley Beal, I think he's there to stay.
But if I was Heat, I probably would bring John Wall just to Beal.
No, especially if John Wall could be healthy on that team too.
You don't even need to be top five point guard no more.
Right.
Yeah.
Derek is back on you. Clippers won't be the best defensive team next year.
Not capping. I mean, no, you're capping.
I'm capping.
You're capping hard.
This is going to be some good defensive teams
Utah
out there.
Utah is going to be the best.
Utah. Philly might have a chance up there with they link.
But I think of the wing depth of Kawhi and Paul George, I think it's
going to
be hard.
You still need
somebody
to protect the rim.
Yeah. And you're also going to have low management.
Yeah, but if you can't get past me, there's no need for you to
go. But if you're not on the court because you got low management,
I'm telling you, Mike Conley,
you're invisible.
Donovan Mitchell, and
Montrezl Harrell is a very solid rim protector. He's not a Hassan Whiteside.
Is that factual? I don't know if Montrezl Harrell. I know he's a monster.
I never thought of him like he would be locked down
at that center spot.
I feel like
know.
You have to be somewhat of a respectable like center if you're going to play that small ball five.
I don't know. He giving him like,
he like what, 6'7"?
Yeah, he's like 6'7", 6'8". But he got big body. He's got some hops. He can jump out the gym a little bit.
He hit on 1.3 blocks.
I don't think they're going to be the best defensive team when it comes like to the statistics. Yeah. But when the time matters, they're going to lock up.
Okay. P is on you. LeBron has his usual rough start to the beginning of the year.
Cap. I think he can't afford that. I think he realized last year how tight the West is, and, you know, every game literally really matters. I think he's going to come out guns blazing. He's going to send a message to the league. And I think he also want to instill that confidence into his team so that he don't have to play the 82 games or play the 3 games. So let's start off on fire so we can relax. And we can have these low management.
You know those rough starts always boost that MVP scenario or that MVP story.
Not for James Harden. He started off tough, and that was the reason why he didn't win.
Giannis dominated the whole season through. So
yeah, consistency is what I think gets you.
If you come out the gates, if they start the season 18-2, come on now.
LeBron still does have his narrative for.
And I don't even think LeBron's like the question mark. I think it's just the rest of the team.
No, but that's LeBron's history.
Yeah,
is that the team start off?
Yeah, they'll start off 8-7.
Who's it on? UKB.
Yep.
You know, we bring this up every time. Spurs don't make the playoffs this year.
You put it on me because I made this bold prediction last year. I respect that. Fuck, man.
It's hard to count them out.
You think about how tough the West just got, where you got teams like the Lakers getting a lot better, who weren't in the playoffs.
And just those, like,
somebody has to fall out.
Yeah.
And if I'm looking at their roster, they're maybe the team to do it. But all that being said, they do have the greatest coach of all time at the helm of it, so it's hard for me to even do that.
DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, Rudy Gay.
Rephrase it. What was your question again?
Well,
the Spurs would be the team to fall out.
Yeah.
That's cap.
But the Thunder was a team that was in the playoffs last year.
Probably not going to be there.
Yeah, so.
So that's cap. The Spurs stay in. Maybe.
P, you got the Spurs staying in though?
Yeah, I got the Spurs in there because they're getting DeJounte Murray.
We know you got the Spurs
because DeJounte Murray is coming back.
They have DeJounte Murray, Derek White, Patty Mills is still there.
LaMarcus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that team's very good.
I'm expecting some shit from Trey Lyle. They got Lonnie Walker is healthy. They drafted some good guys, Keldon Johnson.
Spurs always draft people that just play their role too. Yeah. Like immediately come in and just do what they need to do.
Lonnie Walker looked amazing in summer.
So, they got some things.
That's cap. They'll make the playoffs again.
Derek, James Harden wins another scoring title this year.
You're not capping. He definitely can.
Even with Russell?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Russell
does he still average 30 this year? For the last 2 years, he's averaged 30.
He didn't ask you if he can. We know he can. He asked you if he will.
He will, yeah. Because I think Russell's going to take more on that playmaking role. And Harden's going to just be that guy that's just going to be the primary scorer. That's the role I think
they're both just going to get buckets, to be honest. I don't think they're really going to. I'm obviously going to playmake. But I think both are going to be very aggressive. Because Chris Paul took that back seat.
Yeah.
And he kind of let James Harden do his thing for the most part. But I think Russell Westbrook's going to take that step up. And share that load with James Harden more.
I think it's Cal. I don't think it's going to be him. I think it's going to be maybe Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. That would be my guess, too.
Steph Curry, or maybe we see a big man.
I'm glad you said that.
Maybe so these were the top seven from last year. It was James Harden, Paul George, Giannis, Joel Embiid, Steph Curry, and Kawhi Leonard. And Devin Booker were top seven. Those are the top seven.
I can see
Steph Curry might be the guy this year.
I can see Steph. I would love to see Devin Booker going on a rampage. But I want to see Cat. I think Cat. I want to see Cat go crazy.
He definitely has the skill set.
Him start off the season with a start. He got those 30-point games later because of the brother shit. I want to see him start like that and just keep it up because he's going to be their go-to guy. Literally, you know, the past couple years he's been their go-to guy. But they've had little mixes. They've had the Jimmy Butlers. They had Derrick Rose, who have his moments. This year is kind of Cat. And what we get from Jimmy Butler, I mean, Andrew
Wiggins.
But Rocco is not going to be, he's not going to take the ball out of Cat's hand.
Right.
So, Josh Okogie, he's not going to take the ball out of his hands either. So,
it's on you, P. Curry is able to lead Golden State back into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they'll be a playoff team. My only thing is that what we talked about last year, I just don't think they'll be contender. I don't see contending in their future. But no cap.
You think so? Yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong, but you just mentioned that in the West, all the games count now.
Yep.
So it's going to be hard for them to have a rough start in the beginning of the season, missing Klay Thompson. And, you know, he comes back and, you know, they may be below 500 by a couple of games. It could be hard to get back in there.
No, I don't think they'll be below 500.
I don't think they probably won't be below 500 either. But contending is contending for a championship.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, so in the West, when you look at all those teams, I don't think you can afford to have a guy so substantial to your group like Klay Thompson miss 3 months, two and a half months, and then come back and all of a sudden then it's not like you're throwing them into the previous team that they had the previous 5 years. It's a lot of adjustments now. Now you have D'Angelo Russell, Iggy is gone. Sean Livingston is gone. Quinn Cook is gone. You got a lot of pieces that are now in and out. So he'll have to adjust to a whole new unit of guys on the floor. And I think that's a lot to ask for.
KB, Russell Westbrook stays in his shooting slump.
That's a very tough question. I think last year was an anomaly. He's never been a great shooter. Let's get that straight.
No.
But last year, he was abysmal. He was abysmal. I think he does get higher, but I'm not thinking he's getting back to his MVP app.
Right.
MVP.
We just want a respectable. Right. They were daring him to shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, 27, 28, whatever he shot from three is kind of bad for a guard, especially if his caliber.
From the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm See, it's hard to say he's going to turn it around because it was a whole 82 game season right. plus the playoffs where he struggled. Mm-hmm. So that's a long time to be in a slump. Maybe that's not a slump. Maybe that's just
he did come into the year with injury. He didn't start the season and kind of
rushed. Do y'all back. Think Russell yeah. takes more threes or less threes this year?
More. He's with, the, he's yeah. with that team.
Less. They're going to convince him not to.
I would love so, but I mean, we're looking at a team that has a system. I literally seen Carmelo Anthony shoot a shot, make it from mid-range, and pat his chest and say, my bad. So they tell me exactly what the type of conversations they're having within that locker room. I would love to see him not and to see them make some adjustments. And mm-hmm. James Harden said he's not going to the USA thing to work with adjusting the Rockets system and whatnot. So it's only time will tell. But based on what I know, he probably will shoot more. Well, it depends on how many he shot last year.
What did he shoot, like 5 a game last year? I think so.
I can quick
Google check mean, that. I thought you meant like his actual total attempts.
Yeah, no, I'm average. Talking about is he going to keep on, especially if he's still in the shooting club and he's still launching away?
He shot 5.6 last year at 29%. And the year before, he was 30%. The year before that, he was 34%. That was his MVP year. See, I don't think he'll get back to 34 because that was, again, that was an anomaly because even the year before that.
Even this year, yeah, I mean, it's not going to show in all the statistics, but even in this year, like that mid-range wasn't even, because that used to be his bread and butter, what he used to do, that, especially those pull-up elbow jumpers. Like, those weren't even falling this year.
I think I don't think he'll exceed 5.6, but I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed in the 4.5 to 5 range just because that's where the game is going. You look at his past year.
He's always been 4.5.
Yeah, 4.7, 4.3, 4.3. 7-4 and then 5.6. That's just where the game is going. He's going to have to take those shots.
I can't believe he shot 7 threes a game and shot 34% that year. Like, that is insane. That MVP season is fucking ridiculous.
But if you think of that system, part of that system is getting to the rim and making layups, and that's something he's one of the best in the league.
Who can stay in front of him? Not many people.
No. Yes. And especially when they're trying to get the big onto him.
And Houston does a very good of just spacing the floor for those lanes.
They're going to ask him to do that, but they're also going to ask him to make shots because James Harden's going to have the ball in his hands to go to the hoop, and he's going to have times where he kicks out to him. So he's going to shoot 4 threes a game. That's a guarantee. He's going to shoot 4 a game.
But also on the catch, you don't always have to shoot. You can also
they're going to want him to. It's a part of their system. Yeah. It's a part of the NBA. They're going to that's the thing with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons don't have to shoot 40%, but they just want him to shoot just because it's not predictable. When you can catch it and the defense don't know what you're going to do with it, it helps a much more flow to the offense instead of you catching it and they just in help and they know they can stay in help. They ain't even close out. He's about to attack. So why even close out?
Derek, it's on you. Milwaukee stays on top of the East next year.
You're not capping. No, they might not be the first number one seed. But
no, that's fine. They're going to be the number one seed.
No cap.
You're not capping, actually. Yeah, they'll be the number one seed probably.
Talking about bringing in Henny guy.
Well, I don't know now. Wait, that's not official, right? Because they just signed
I don't know.
Korver.
I just heard they had like meetings with them. Exactly. Kyle Korver, they just signed them too.
Do they have another roster spot? Is the real question. I have to sign to Kyle Korver. I don't know. I think they'll be at the top of the East, though. I don't know if I would pick them to be the favorite to win the East, but as far as the one seed, I think they got that.
Man, that's tough. I'll say no cap, just because, you know, Giannis isn't a guy that's going to sit out. Middleton is pretty, you know, he's pretty reliable.
Because last year they kind of ran through the regular season. They had the highest point differential, 60-plus wins.
Wasn't even close there.
And then when you look at the Sixers, you know Joel is going to sit out. But my thing about them is now that you have Horford, when Joel sits out, you just slide him down to the 5. Mm-hmm. And it's like you still have a good little thing going right there.
I think Tobias might be an all-star.
I'm going to say cap. I think the Sixers are going to be the number one seed. I think they're going to come out motivated. I think Ben Simmons is going to come out with a chip.
Yeah.
That's a guy I forgot to mention on the question Dan asked about the players we were watching. I want to see Ben Simmons come out and have an MVP type season.
I'm glad you just said that too. Next one's on you. Ben Simmons makes his first 3 this season.
No cap.
No cap.
It's going to be a full-court shot.
I asked him this earlier. Before we even started, he said, you capping. He ain't never make no 3. No cap.
You capping.
Full-court shot, baby.
No cap.
I don't even think he's going to attempt one.
It's only his 3rd season, but it's going to be his best season, as it should be.
I think the 3rd best season is really when you start to see the young player get into who they're going to be in the league.
I'm going to correct myself, too. Andrew Wiggins did make his jump the 3rd year, but he didn't stay there. So we need you to come back and stay there, Wiggins, for cap's sake. Or he going to leave and join Devin Booker in Phoenix.
Giannis wins back-to-back MVPs, KB.
Cap. He did it. I don't know if he has a story now. They were projected to win 40 games. They won 60. That was his story. I don't know what his story is this year. You know, the NBA is about the narrative. It always is when it comes to MVP. So I think that's cap. I don't know who it's going to be. I would have to think about it more, but I don't think it's going to be Giannis for back-to-back.
Cap, but I don't think it's out of the question.
No. I mean, it's always those players like James Harden always in MVP conversation.
So I think he could win back-to-back.
LeBron would probably be in MVP conversations next season.
You would guess so, right?
But, yeah, I don't think it's – I'd say Cap because they got another guy, man. This is a surprise guy. Mm-hmm. I think he doesn't have a duo. Technically, he was the only all-star on his team. And I would love to see it. He's, you know, Nikola Jokic. But if Giannis won it again, I don't think it'd be out of the world. I mean, they're going to have another good year. He's going to play a lot of games. He's going to put up a lot of good numbers. But people are going to be looking at him because of the playoffs, though.
Yeah.
So,
Derek, Carmelo Anthony finds a new team.
Damn, why you got to give me the hard one? I don't know. I think you're capping just because of the simple fact it doesn't seem like he has a market. It doesn't.
Right, that's why
it seemed like somebody would have picked him up. Yeah,
he would have been.
That's why
it wasn't a tough question. Because I mean, if it would have been happened, the Lakers would have got him or something. So I'll say cap.
I wouldn't be surprised if he does end up a Laker by like All Star break.
Who they let go?
Yeah, do we? We'd have to let somebody go.
Alex Caruso.
Hell no. Fan love. No, Alex Caruso. Yeah.
So that's the point.
It would have to be like, who's the least valuable player on y'all team?
Here, Knicks win 25 games this year.
No cap.
No cap?
Yeah, no cap. We won 17 with shit. And we have, if you can't look at me in my face and tell me our team isn't better than last year's.
No, it is. It is.
Wait, is it how much better?
I don't know. I couldn't say. I know y'all got better. Y'all got some more names on your roster.
Better we got? No. We went from Lance Thomas to Julius Randle.
Don't disrespect the guy, Lance Thomas. Come
I don't
on,
know.
Man.
I can't. I don't know how much that y'all got better, but I don't know how much that translates into wins.
Okay. So you think we're gonna win 17 games again?
No, I'm just. That's why I put the number at 25.
Yeah. Right. So I'm telling. I'm asking you what you think. Because I said, Captain, you looked at me like I was crazy. Like, I said we're going to win.
Because you said no doubt. Like, it was just
because
undefeated.
Because we won 17 games last year.
How many games? Let me see.
I mean, they're going to have
record.
More than the Bulls. They're going to have to win more than 25. They need at least 40 of them things.
So, yeah. How many? What's your win prediction for the Knicks? No, but they will. They won like 24,
25-ish.
Yeah. What's your win prediction for the Knicks then? Just throw it out. Throw it out a number.
You know.
38. That's borderline playoff.
Okay.
He did say, "Don't be surprised if they sneak up."
Y'all know the clip of when the coach come into the locker room. He say, "Bring me my money." That's what I'm saying. At the end of the regular season this year.
Okay, can I just do one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to do one thing real quick because I don't think you fully understand, right? Mm-hmm. I want to read you this roster of last year that won 17 games.
Yeah. I was there for one of those wins.
They beat the
Ron Baker.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Ron Baker, man.
Trey Burke. Kadeem Allen. Isaiah Hicks. John Jenkins. Luke Cornett.
Shout out to the boy Luke Cornett, man.
Wesley Matthews. Emmanuel Mudiay. Courtney Lee. Noah Vonleh, who played good. Lance Thomas. And then all of these other guys were either here for a second, we had Mario Hezonja.
No, I got you. Guys.
But you take out Ron Baker, Noah Vonleh, Courtney Lee, Wesley Matthews, and you add.
Y'all get rid of Lance Thomas also?
Yeah, they waived Lance Thomas. Man.
Okay.
So then you take those names out.
Right. You got Dennis Smith starting. I was going to be there for a full year.
But he played. Yeah, he'll be there for a full year. He played. But you take those guys out and you add in Marcus Morris,
right?
Who he's no all star, but he's
a very quality player.
Julius Randle, who just came off his best year. Who else did we fucking add?
Kevin Knox.
Todd Gibson.
Oh, yeah. Bobby Portis.
Bobby Portis. That's a very good pickup.
And then you add RJ, and then you add Knox and Mitchell Robinson, a year older.
Okay,
so that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
I can see the 25 wins. Yeah. I can see it. 38 of the 30.
That's I want to look at what 538 has it. There, because they are every year they do win predictions and they're pretty accurate every year. So I just want to see what they had the Knicks set.
Yeah, the 38 is me because I mean, him.
Right.
Your thing is 25. That's what I'm talking to you about. The 25. Because you looked at me when I said as if I said some wild.
Because it's not like you thought about it first. It was instant. Yeah, no doubt.
Automatic upgrade when I'm looking.
They're projected to win 23 this season.
Alfred Payton too? Wayne Ellington? Are you serious?
And I'm going to say the Bulls are projected to win 37. So, I mean, they had to defy the odds at that point.
But they're
I'm going to tell Pieta, bring me my money.
They're projecting the Bulls to be healthy.
Yep, they sure are.
So,
KB, this last one's going to be on you.
Let's look at this Bulls roster, though. Zach LaVine, Kobe White, Laurie Markkanen, Chris Dunn, Daniel Gafford, Thaddeus Young, Zach Aransky, Alvin Porter, Wendell.
37 should be a breeze.
Dakar Sampson.
Denzel Valentine.
He played two-way last year for us. What was the last question?
Phoenix Suns spend another year at the bottom of their conference.
Absolute bottom. Let me see. What are some teams that's competing for absolute bottom? Grizzlies. Other than that, like,
that's it.
It's those are the Grizzlies.
It's either them or the Grizzlies.
I'll say
that. That's the Timberwolves. I mean, no.
They spent like the last
530.
The Thunder.
No, the Thunder could drop. Will they be the worst team? Especially if they keep CP3 on their team.
Oh, no, bro. I don't think they're the worst in the league, even without CP. I think they would be worse.
No, you still got Gallo on that team.
The Suns.
That team won't be very good.
I think they spent like the last 3 years at the bottom.
Because the Suns did make some moves that tells me that they're trying to win games.
They got Ricky Rubio.
Dario Saric.
Yeah, that's another quality player.
They brought in players that they're trying to actually put W's on there.
I don't think they'll be the worst. I think Memphis will actually be the worst.
You think so?
The Memphis are young. They have talent, but the talent is young. Jaren Jackson's only in the second year. He's their best player. They don't.
I'm going to tell y'all, 538 actually have the Kings being dead last, which is, that would be a crazy fall off. They'll go from the 9 seed to dead last.
What? That's dumb as hell.
But like,
I mean, think about the putting them dead last.
Team got better.
Yeah.
Literally every other team other than the Warriors got better this season.
Yeah.
The Mavericks have Porzingis back. The Pelicans actually have a team. The Timberwolves, they didn't get better, but they were already decent to start off with. The Thunder got worse.
But see, they were decent because they had some shit. They had, you know, Derrick Rose was killing for them.
Yeah.
They had a Tyus Jones, but Derrick Rose wasn't there. Now you lose that, lose Taj Gibson, Jimmy Butler. The Timberwolves could make that. Like, let's look at the Timberwolves roster. Did they make some moves I forgot about?
They brought in Anthony Tolliver and Noah Vonleh.
Jordan Bell.
Wait, maybe Anthony Tolliver went somewhere else then.
Because I knew that Anthony Tolliver was on Portland. Anthony Tolliver was on Portland.
Yes. So they brought in Noah Vonleh.
Oh, but they got Jared Culver. They drafted Jared Culver.
Kade Bates Diop had a good summer league.
He did.
So he made good
Noah Vonleh, Jake Layman, Shabazz Napier, Tyrone Wallace.
And they have a star. That's what they have a star. So he can carry.
And I like the way they coach.
And I think they might be a dark horse team for Chris Paul halfway through the season.
Yeah. Jeff Teague.
Throwing Jeff Teague and Gorgui Dieng, the money match right there. Maybe give him a couple picks. Maybe OKC just takes that deal. Because Jeff Teague is expiring and Gorgui Dieng only got one more year. And Gorgui Dieng is not bad.
He could just play a role on that Thunder team.
Yep.
He'll be the starting center when they trade.
So if Karl-Anthony Towns,
that's your boy,
has a point guard that kills in the pick and roll. Like, we saw Chris Paul do a lot of ISO because that's what he was asked when we got there. But we know him as a pick and roll killer.
Right.
Ask Tyson Chandler about.
Come on, man.
Got Tyson Chandler paid.
It's W's.
That's what I'm saying. I think.
But the biggest domino in this for that to happen is who? It's Andrew Wiggins. Because they have to give the organization a reason to trade for Chris Paul. There's no reason to trade for him if you start the season off 2-9. You got Andrew Wiggins got to come to play out of the gate. Him and Wiggins got to show some promise that we knocking on the door of something in order for them to feel motivated to go get Chris Paul. Because if not, you just let Jeff Teague contract go.
It could be like a terrible match because if Jimmy Butler was too hard on him, I think Chris Paul is going to be too hard on him.
I think that's it's like Chris similar personality.
Chris Paul will just be happy to get out of OKC because this will give him some type of chance.
Yeah.
OKC, there's just no chance. I don't think. I think the Pelicans would be better than OKC.
Yeah, that's not a wild.
But
guess.
Then, but the thing about the Suns is you had Ayton in his rookie year give you 71 games, 16-10. So he's going to be better. Devin Booker just gave you 25-7 as the guy, the only guy. Kelly Oubre, I like a lot. You got a new coach in Monty Williams.
Me too.
You bring in Rubio.
Pause. And why you had a smile at these? Said I like him a lot too.
Because I knew that's where your head was going to go.
Saric. Mikal Bridges, Aaron Baines comes from winning.
Mikal Bridges is going to have a good sophomore season.
They're going to be a real good team.
Okay.
So not bottom.
But what if they are though? What if they just come in and they just start killing
Devin
shit?
Devin Booker, that he's the guy that make the leap. He's the MVP guy.
Somebody did say he might be in MVP conversations last year.
I definitely did.
I didn't say last year. I said in the future. They had a rookie center. I said Devin Booker is one of these years.
Going I could know. I could.
I'm
not allowing you to talk me into the Suns like you did last year, bro.
I could have sworn he did say that. It's a chance if he lead them to the eighth seed or something.
And I was like, the MVP. I was like, everybody can make the playoffs except for who did I say? I've said somebody that actually made the playoffs. Did I say it wasn't the Clips.
I'm pretty sure you said the Spurs.
Yeah, probably you said
no,
Spurs.
No, it wasn't that, because I knew that was a bold prediction. I said the Kings. Every team has a chance to make the playoffs except for the Kings, and they ended up being the ninth seed. So I'm not allowing you to talk me into the Suns. They got some pieces that could be cool.
They do, but I didn't.
He loves me talking to you in a team that don't have that much.
I don't believe that I said Devin Booker was going to be the MVP.
No. You said he was your dark horse.
Oh, okay, it was something of that nature.
Maybe it's bold prediction. Maybe
if they end up being an AC, you can't tell me that Devin Booker shouldn't be in conversations. That was
okay. Yeah. Oh, you know why? Because we always talk about winning with MVP.
Yeah.
It's like if you mean to tell me if Devin Booker leads, that was my thing. If Devin Booker leads the team to the AC, is he not?
But he can. If he no, he will get a vote from me if he can bring that team all the way up to that. No, he'll get a vote from me because, like I said, they spent the last couple years at just the bottom
of the barrel.
He would have the story would be there perfectly for him.
And what if they had a We Believe type Lakers?
Now you got to
it might be the end of the show right there.
Thank y'all so much.
38 on Brian head.
As y'all see, the off season is not no off season for us. We're gonna be here working, baby. So we'll see y'all in a few days.
Hey, off season.
You know how I know it's the off season? Because Stephen A. Smith is on vacation.
Oh, you know
if he's on vacation,
before
it's really
up,
the off season.
Listen, I got this thing going on. The fans already probably seen, but
you never brought them into my house.
We give them either way. Go to my Twitter, my Instagram, find a video of me telling y'all about the giveaway and what you got to do. Just hashtag Picky P and tag your favorite restaurant with the best chicken tenders.
Hey, shout out to Donovan Mitchell, determination over negativity, man.
And yeah, I'll sign them. Have these guys sign them, and that y'all can. It's a size 13, but I guess it don't matter because some of y'all just want them to be signed.
All right, they might put them in a little glass case.
Only worn for how many hours? It's not a
four.
I've worn it once for probably 4 hours, 3.5, and so they basically knew. They basically knew because I can't fit them. I'm a 14, and these are 13. So the Taco Fall interview, I was scrunching on my feet. That's how much That's how much we love y'all. But yeah, that's how you get them. Winner will be revealed on Tuesday episode, so you'll know Wednesday.